Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Daf Ches, and we're going to be doing Yemir Tzoshem Ches, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, and we're going to do Tes Amud Aleph as well, again, because of Tisha B'Av. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Joey Weishtach's mom, Naomi Weishtach, Aleha Shalom, Naomi Bas Avram Abba, Yemir Tzoshem, all the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we mentioned 8 different shitos that all have in common that they require a sukkah to be somewhat of a diras keba, and the 8th and final shita was the acherim, and the acherim said a sukkah asuya kishovach is psula. A round sukkah is no good lefi she'en lo zovios. It's not considered a permanent structure because it doesn't have any corners. So today we're going to hear an opinion that disagrees with that. That's the understanding that Rashi has over here. Rashi says that we're going to talk about a sukkah that is round like a kivshan, like a certain type of an oven, and Rashi says it's agula, the less like acherim, and disagrees with the opinion of the acherim. The acherim says it's no good, and this opinion that Rav Yochanan is going to bring down says that it's good. So we begin 8 lines from the bottom, Zayin Omud Beis, with the words Omer Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan tells us, sukkah is suya kikivshan, a sukkah that's made like an oven. An oven was a round structure, and Rashi says this, agula, the less like achem, and disagrees with the opinion of the achem that said that a round structure is no good. So Rav Yochanan says a round structure is good, but we'll have to obviously figure out the dimensions, because it's not going to be 7 by 7 tvacha minimal area, or a 4 amma by 4 amma minimal area, like other opinions we brought down, because it's a circle. So he says, im yesh behekefa, if you have, it's perimeter, its circumference, kidei leishe bo esrim v'arba b'nei adam. If inside this sukkah, right now that's the way we're going to understand this, and again there are diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara, but hopefully this isn't that difficult to figure out. You have people sitting in a circle inside this sukkah, around the perimeter of the sukkah, inside the sukkah. That's the first way we're going to understand this. And we're also going to assume that each person takes up an amma. So, Rav Yochanan tells us that if there is, in this circumference, 24 people, that would be, the circumference would be 24 amma, so then ksheira. Then it's a large enough sukkah, it's a perfectly kosher sukkah. However, v'imlab, if you can't fit 24 people around, in other words, if its perimeter, if its circumference is not 24 amma, imlab, psula, it won't be a kosher sukkah, based upon its size. Now, this is obviously a much larger sukkah than a 7 tefach by 7 tefach area. Now, the largest minimal size sukkah that we had previously was Rebbe's opinion that it's 4 amma by 4 amma in a square shape. That's the minimal size, according to Rebbe, of a sukkah, which is the largest minimal size that we've encountered till now. So Rashi explains that we're asking now, Kiman, who does Rav Yochanan hold like? Is this like Rebbe, which is the largest known shita, or is this some other shita? So the Gemara asks Kiman. So it says, are you saying Kirebi? Does this hold like Rebbe? Rebbe Shita, the Omar calls Sukkah Sheim Ba'arba Amos, Al Arba Amos Psula, that the minimal size is at least 4 amma by 4 amma. So let us see, does Rav Yochanan jibe with Rebbe? In fact, we're going to show that Rav Yochanan Shita is much larger than Rebbe Shita. So who is Rebbe Yochanan, who's an Amora? Which Tanoic opinion is he relying upon? Michtei, the Gemara says, Gavra, a person, Ba'amsa Yosef, as I pointed out already, a person takes up the space of an Amma. So when these 24 people are sitting in this circle, by the inner edge of this circle, it's going to be 24 Amma perimeter. Now, Gabra b'yamsu Yosef, and kol she'yesh be'kepo shlosha tfachim, yesh baruch ha'tefach. The Gemara always assumes that pi is 3. When we deal with real geometry, when we're dealing real with circumferences and areas, so we obviously use pi, which is a irrational number, and it's difficult to work with a number like that. So therefore, we always round it off in the Gemara. So for the formula of the circumference of a circle, which is 2 pi r, which is 2 times the radius times pi, the radius, 2 of the radius is 1 diameter, so it's really the diameter times pi, which we round off to 3, is the diameter times 3. That's the formula for the circumference of a circle. The formula for the area is pi r squared, which we're not going to deal with right now. In any event, so what the Gemara is now saying, that based upon this principle, that there's a 3-to-1 ratio, again, it's pi to 1, but we're calling a 3-to-1 ratio between the circumference and the diameter, because the circumference is going to be, the formula for that is the diameter times 3. So if the diameter is 1, so then the circumference will be 3. That's the ratio. So based upon kol she'yesh be'kefo shlosha tefachim, if the circumference is 3, then the diameter is going to be 1, whatever the units you are, it's the same, whether it's three tefachim and one tefach, three amos and one amma. It's always going to be the same. So if the circumference here is 24 amos, because there's 24 people, so then by definition the diameter is going to be 8 amma. It's going to be a 3-to-1 ratio. So kosh yesh bekev shlosh tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach, that 3-to-1 ratio is critical. And therefore, according to Rebbe, if you're dealing with a 4x4 square, so mistama, we're suggesting right now, we'll see that this is not going to be correct, that the circumference of this circle would also require a diameter of 4. If the diameter of the circle is 4, then its circumference is going to be 4 times 3, really 4 times pi. 4 times 3 should be 12. So Gemara says, if the shita of Rebbe is what Rav Yochanan is holding like, and again, we're assuming that if you hold it's 4x4 in a square, you're also going to hold that it's 4 in a circle for the diameter, which we'll see in a moment is not what is going to be the case. But right now, we're assuming that. So therefore, you should have an adequate betray sarsagi. If the circumference of the circle is going to be 3 times the diameter, and the diameter, the minimum diameter is 4 for this circular sukkah, so then the circumference would be 12. And you'd only need 12 people, 12 amma, 12 people to make up the circumference of the circle, not the 24 that Rabbi Yochanan said. So we turn to Chesed with Aleph and say that assumption wasn't correct. Just because a square sukkah is 4x4 doesn't mean that the same dimensions would be for a circle, that you need just to have the dimensions of 4 as the diameter. That would be a much smaller, because a circle with a diameter of 4 is going to be smaller than a square, each side having 4 amos. And again, that's simple. The perimeter of the square, which is 4 times 4, would be 16. And the perimeter of the circle would be 4 times 3, which would be 12. So obviously, a square is going to take up a larger area than a circle if you're dealing with 4 as the diameter of the circle and 4 as the sides of the square. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hani mila bigula, that which we mentioned, that the formula of a circle is, if it's 4 of the diameter, it's going to be 4 times 3 is 12. That's true if you're dealing with a circle that is by itself. But if you have a square around the circle, it's going to require an additional amount more. It's going to require actually 25% more. That's the formula. It's going to be 4 times 3 versus 4 times 4. So it's going to be 4/3. It's going to be that much more in the square. And therefore, we now can suggest the following. Michtei, let us say, kama meruba yoser alo eagle. How much more is the square going to be than the circle? I just pointed out, it's going to be 16 versus 12. So that's a 4-to-3 ratio, which we consider a quarter more, a quarter from the outside, a third from the inside. Revia. So therefore, all you would need then, if you had a circle and was saying that you have to have a square around it, so then it should be 16. Vishisar sagi. So therefore, to square off this circle, to make a square around this circle that you're saying has a diameter of 4, so then you'd only need 16 men around it. So therefore, why did he say 24? So it can't be that Rav Yochanan is holding like Rebbe. Someone says, no. Hani mili, again, that's if you're putting the circle in the inside and then a square around it. Be'igul, dinofik migurivua, that would be correct. But we're talking about, according to Rav Yochanan, the people are lined up on the inside of the perimeter of the circle. So what you have to do is take that square of 4x4 and put a circle around it. Not a square around the circle, but a circle around the square. Be eagle, the Norfolk Migo Rivua, you'd be right. Avo Ribua, the Norfolk Migo Igula, if you're going to put a square inside the circle, that's 4x4, because that's the minimum size for a sukkah in a square. So the sukkah, if it's a circle, has to be larger than that. It can't fit inside the square, because then it'd be too small. So it has to go around the square. Rivua, the nafik migo igula, by its way. That's even going to have a larger perimeter. So the perimeter of the square is 4, 4, 4, and 4. So it's going to be 16. When you put a circle around that, you have to have an even larger circumference. And therefore, Mishum Morisha de Karnasa, to gain the corners that you're missing, the square is going to have arcs around each edge that are being missed. Those are called the corners over here, and therefore you have to add on additional people inside this circle to have it enclosed around the square, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan says is 24 people, 24 amma. Mora is not happy with that. Mora says, Mithli, let's check out the math here. And there's going to be a lot of math on this page, but we're not going to go to it too deeply, so don't worry, this won't bring back nightmares of geometry for you. The Gemara says, Michte, kol amso birivua. Whenever you have an amma of a square inside a circle, so the square inside the circle its diagonal is going to be the diameter. Now, the formula, Pythagorean's theorem of a squared plus b squared equals c squared, applies over here. So if you have a square, it's a squared plus a squared equals the diagonal. So a squared in this situation is 4. The b squared or the other side is 4. So it's going to be 4 squared times 4 squared is going to equal the diagonal. Square root will tell you what the diagonal is. A squared plus b squared equals c squared. So c squared, and you're going to take the square root of c, and that will be the diagonal. To save everybody a lot of anguish, that number is also an irrational number, and we round that off to be 1 and 2 fifths, 1.4. It's really 1.41 something. So it's an irrational number also. So we round it off. It's nice and simple to work with the numbers 1 and 2 fifths. So for example, if we're dealing with a square that is 4, like Rebbe says, that's the minimal size of a square sukkah. So it's 4 amma and 4 amma on the two sides. The diagonal will be 4 times 1 and 2 fifths. 4 times 1 and 2 fifths is 4 times 1 is 4, and 2 fifths is going to be 8 fifths. That's 1 and 3 fifths. So the diagonal is going to be 5 and 3 fifths. That's what the Gemara says. Kol amsa bi rivua, amsu trechum shabi alachsona. The diagonal, the part which is the Pythagorean theorem c squared, is going to be 1 and 2 fifths more than the sides. So therefore, what we just said is, if the diameter is going to be 5 and 3 fifths, so the circumference of that circle is going to be 3 times 5 and 3 fifths. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 3 fifths is 9 fifths, which is 1 and 4 fifths. So 1 and 4 fifths plus 15 is 16 and 4 fifths. And that is b'shivsar, 17 minus a fifth, nechechumshe sagya. So then all you should need over here is technically 16 and 4 fifths people to make a circle that would enclose a square that is 4 by 4, which is the minimal size for a sukkah according to Rebbe. So therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan was going within the sheet of Rebbe, you wouldn't need 24 people. You'd only need 16 and 4 fifths people. What sheet is Rabbi Yochanan therefore going like? Square says, Lo doc, he wasn't careful. Yeah, 16 and 4 fifths, 24, they're pretty much the same. Square says, what? What are you talking about? They're the same. Amo, Damrina, Lo doc. When do we say, okay, we round off. We're not so careful with the exact number. So if you told me 16 and 4 fifths and you said 17, okay, I got it. But that's a little bit porta to say that 16 and 4 fifths, you rounded it off to 17. That's why you need 17 people. No problem. We would close the Gemara now and say, end of the discussion. That's a porta, a little bit. But Tuva, to go and say it should have been 16 and 4 fifths, and instead he said 24. Tuva, mi amrina, lo dak. How can you say that he wasn't careful with his numbers when it's such a discrepancy? That can't be. Who says Yataka, right? So therefore, Markishisha, who was the son of Rechisla, said to Rav Ashi, who said that we're talking that a person takes up an amma? Mi sabris gavra, that a man is ba'amsu Yosef. Who says that a man takes one amma? In fact, the man is smaller than one amma. And in fact, tlosu gavre, it takes three people, two amma. Betarte amsu Yosef. So three people can sit in the space of two. So each person is really taking up two-thirds of an amma. So this guy takes up two-thirds of an amma, this guy takes up two-thirds of an amma, and this guy takes up two-thirds of an amma. That's three times two-thirds, which is three times two is six. Six-thirds is two amma. So for every three people, you have two amma. So now, in our case of 24, so for every three, you have two. So you're going to have over here 16, not 24 amma. When you have 24 people, so if three of them take up two amma, so that's eight people, so eight times two is 16. So therefore, that is the calculation. Rav Yochanan is really saying that it's 16 amma. That is going to be the circumference of the circle. That will hold a square that is 4 by 4, and therefore Rav Yochanan is in fact going like the opinion of Rebbe. Sumer says, that's still not right. Kamahavalu, how did you come up over here? You came up with 16, shitsar, because you took the 24 people, and three of them make up two amma, and that's going to be 24 divided by 3, which is 8, and then 8 is going to be for the number of people that times 2 is the 2 amma, is going to be 16. So therefore, it's 16, but we said it's 16 and 4 fifths. Anan, shivsar nechechum shabinan. We said that the circumference has to be 16 and 4 fifths, and you're only saying 16, Rabbi Yochanan. So that's still not right.
So here the Gemara says, Lodak, he wasn't careful. 16 and 4/5, pretty much the same thing. Where it says, no, you can't say that. You can round up, but you can't round down. If the minimum size of a sukkah is 4 amma by 4 amma, so then it has to come out to a circumference of 16 and 4/5. If you make it smaller than that, if you'd said 17, no problem. But if you're making it 16, so then it's going to be too small. It's going to be less than the minimal size of a sukkah. So where do we say lo dak if you're rounding it up? Ema darina lo dak l'chumra. If you say you need 17 amma is a circumference, you really only needed 16 and 4/5, but 17 is more than that, so you're not going to have a sukkah that's too small. You're just saying, okay, the minimal size of the sukkah that we're going to use in a circle is going to be 17, which is bigger than 16 and 4/5. But to make it smaller, lakula, that you can't do. Mi amrina lo dak. How can you say we're not careful with a smaller amount? It's not kosher a sukkah. Someone says, Taka, you're right. We try again. Amalei Rav Asi le Rav Ashi. Now we have Rav Asi. Before we had Mark Yishisha, brother of Chista, said to Rav Ashi. So therefore, now we have Rav Asi said to Rav Ashi. Now, Rav Ashi was the last of the Amoraim. Ravina, Rav Ashi, they were the closure of the Gemara. Now, normally, Rav Asi is the first generation Amoraim. He was the beginning of the Amoraic period. Rav Ashi is the last of the Amoraic period. So obviously, this Rav Asi is not the standard Rav Asi that we have throughout Shas. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, the first generation Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, this Rav Asi lived in Babel, and he was the last generation of Amoraim, and he said to Rav Ashi, here's my teretz. Le'olam gabra bi'amso Yosef. Originally, we said that a person takes up an Amma, and I still say that. Not the three people take up two amma that you just mentioned a moment ago from our Kishisha, brother of Chista. We disagree with that. A person takes up an amma. That is, in fact, the way we normally calculate a person. His length, width, and his height is the way we determine a mikveh has to be 40 saw. So it's based upon how much a normal person who has the length, width, and height of one amma in length and width, and three amma in height that would be required to be immersed in a mikveh. So therefore, Gabra b'amso Yosef. In fact, the width of a person is an amma. So our 24 ammas that we said originally was correct. But that was a problem. It didn't work out. The Rav Yochanan hold like Rebbe. So how does he explain it? He says, Rav Yochanan, mokum gabri lo kachoshev. Rav Yochanan was not talking about where the people were actually sitting themselves. They're not included in this calculation. He's saying that the people are not in the sukkah, they're outside the sukkah. So therefore, when you have these 24 people, they're around the perimeter of the sukkah on the outside, not in the sukkah. Now, the person who is, let's say, the most left, and the person who is the most right in this circle, so they're going to take up one amma space. So you therefore, instead of the diameter being 8, because that's what it would be if the perimeter was 24, the diameter is 8, you now indent one amma for that person on the left and the person the most on the right. Again, you could do this at any place. I'm just picking it on the horizontal axis to give an illustration. So therefore, instead of 8 being the diameter of the circle, they're one amma outside on the left, one amma outside on the right. So therefore, you deduct 2 amma from the diameter, and the diameter is actually 6 amma when you have the people all outside of the sukkah. Now we're dealing with a circle that has a diameter of 6. If a circle has a diameter of 6, so then its periphery, its perimeter, will be a circumference of 3 times 6, again, pi times 6, which is going to be 18. So that's what the Gemara says. Kama habaluhu. How many amas do you have in the circumference? It's going to be tamnei srei, 18, 6 times 3. And therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan said that you only need 16 and 4/5, this is going to be pretty close. B'shivsar nechi chumsha sagya, technically, according to Rebbe, you should only require 16 and 4/5. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say 18? Here we can finally say, hainu lo dok. He wanted to give us a nice round number. He didn't say 17, he said 18. 18 fits in nicely in a sequence around the circle, and that's why he said 18. And that is going in accord with the shita of Rebbe. Ulechumra lo dok. And as we pointed out, if you have a little bit bigger of a sukkah, and say that that's the minimal size of a circular sukkah, it's not a problem. Lo duck applies l'chumra. Lo duck can't apply l'kula. That is the teretz. Who does Rav Yochanan hold like? He holds like Rebbe with this calculation that Rav Asi, the later Amora, had told Rav Ashi. That's teretz number one. We're going to suggest teretz number two, which is a very difficult teretz to understand. Many suggest that it's actually a mistake and that the Gemara misunderstands what these Dayane Kesar are saying. Others explain it. We're going to just learn it very superficially. Simplest way to learn this, which is to suggest that they're actually making a mistake. Rabbanan, the Kesari, the rabbis who were the Rabbanim in the town of Kesaria, Or others say it was the Dayanim there, Vamile Dayanim de Kesaria. They said the following: Amri, Igula de Nofik Migo Rivua is Riva. If you have a circle that is inside a square, so then the circle's circumference will be, again, that 4/3 ratio from the square to the circle, so it's going to be 1/4. That's what we call Riva. It's going to be 1/4 less, 1/4 from the outside, which is 1/3 from the inside. So again, in our situation before, we said if the circle has a diameter 4, so its circumference will be 12. If you had a square around it, it would be 4 by 4 by 4 by 4. That would be 16 as the perimeter. So 16 to 12 is a 4-3 ratio. And that addition, that 4 is higher than 3, is 1/3 from the inside or 1/4 from the outside. That's why it says if you have a square around the circle, it's going to have a circumference that is 1/4 more. 16 to 14, a 4-3 ratio. We turn to Chesamid base. He then tells us, Rivua, the Norfolk Migo Igula Palga. But then he says that if you have a square and you put that inside a circle, so here the ratio is going to be 1/2 Palga. In other words, it's going to be a 3-2 ratio. It's going to be 1/2 larger in the outer circle. So if, for example, you have a square which has a 16 circumference, so then the circle around it is going to be half again greater. So half of 16 is 8, so 8 plus 16 is 24. So the ratio here of the circle around the square is going to be a 24-16 or a 3-2 ratio. But that's simply not correct. And the Gemara says, Veloi, it's a mistake. That's simply not true. If the outer circle had a circumference of 24, that means its diameter is 8, so therefore you can't say that a square inside of that is going to have 4 by 4. The numbers just don't calculate out. It's just not correct. And therefore, the Gemara says, they made a mistake. The Dayani Kesari made a mistake. Tosus points out over here, to answer it up, he says, Yesh Lomar, the Kabbalah B'yodom Loshen Zeh, Shal Rivua Migu Igula, Palga. This Loshen over here, that when you have a square that's inside of a circle, is Palga, Fu Emes Le'inin Amokom, V'lo Le'inin Orech Hachut. He understands it in a totally different way, which then Tosus starts going through and makes calculations, which we're not going to go into right now. But basically, either you say that Dayanei Kesaria made a mistake, or that we're misunderstanding what they said. They didn't make a mistake, we're making the mistake. In any event, you can't understand it like we just attempted to, like the simple reading of the words of the Dayanei or Rabbanei Kesaria. Mark continues and says, Amar Rav Levi, Mishum Rav Meir. Rav Levi says the name of Rav Meir, Shtei Sukos Shel Yotzrim. Funny, these sukkahs are not sukkahs like we're talking about sukkahs. These are booths. And these are basically something that the yotrim are a word that we use for people that make clay cheretz. They're potters. And these yotrim, I say this in the piyutim on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, that we are like a clay, biyad hayotzer, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, these potters, these yotrim, they used to live all year long in what was a hut inside a hut, a booth inside a booth. The inner booth was where they lived, they ate, they slept, etc. And their outer booth was where they made their pots and showed off their wares and would try to sell it. So, under normal circumstances, Rav Levi says the name of Rav Meir. Now, Shtei Sukkos, Shel Yotzrim, these sukkahs, Zu Lifnei Mizu, one is inside the other one. Hapnimis, the inner one, which is built not L'shem Tzel, it's not L'shem Sukkah, ain't a sukkah. It wouldn't be able to be used as a sukkah, even if it had kashrus schach on the top. V'chayevis mezuzah. And since it's a permanent dwelling, it also requires a sukkah, a mezuzah on that inner sukkah, on that inner booth. However, the chitzona, the outer one, is not a dwelling place, and therefore, it is in fact a kashrus sukkah. It has good schach on the top, has four walls, has the right size, so it's a perfectly good sukkah. Even though it wasn't made l'shem sukkah, it was made l'shem tzel, or p'tura min ha-mezuzah. But since it's a sukkah, it doesn't require a mezuzah. Gemara says, wait, how come it doesn't require mezuzah? Am I? To have a chitzona kebeis shar hapnimis. The outer one should be like a vestibule to the inner one. And the tischai b'mezuzah, a vestibule, while in and of itself wouldn't require a mezuzah, but since it's going into a place that does require mezuzah, so it also requires a mezuzah. So how come we don't consider it like a beis shar? This outer sukkah of the yotzrim should also require a mezuzah based upon this principle. Gemara says, no. Mishum de lo kviya, since this is such a temporary type of a structure, so this inner structure is not really a real diras keva, albeit he sleeps there all year long, and therefore it doesn't have the capability of making the outer sukkah over here as a base shar status that would require mezuzah on its own. In any event, you see clearly from here that even though it wasn't made l'shem sukkah, as long as it's l'shem tzel, which we learned previously and we're learning again now, so it's a perfectly good sukkah and could be used to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah as long as it has the right dimensions and the schach was put l'shem tzel. The Yerushalmi does bring down that you should adjust something or do something here in order to use it before sukkah, and the two opinions the Yerushalmi brings down, and you can see this in the Tosos, on the top of Tesamud Aleph, Dibra Maslo Sukkah, where he says either you have to adjust one tefach or a mashahu. In any event, you should do something ideally to it before you use it as a sukkah. Now the Gemara has an interesting discussion, and there's a short little siman in Shulchan Aruch on this discussion, one sif, siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Reish Lamed Hei, and it says, Tana Rabbanu, within the Braisa, there are two types of sukkahs. There's a ganvach, which I'll explain what that is, and a rakbash, and I'll explain what that is as we go through the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off and tells us in the Braisa, ganvach, a sukkah of ganvach. What is that? So it's in a mnemonic. The gimel stands for goyim, the nun stands for noshim, the bay stands for behemah, and the chav sofis stands for kusim. Okay? So if you have this sukkahs ganvach, sukkahs goyim, sukkahs noshim, sukkahs behemah, or a sukkahs kusim, and then it ends on a fifth category, sukkah mikol makom, which we'll have to explain what that means. Any sukkah of this nature, kishera, they're all perfectly valid for sukkahs. The underlying common denominator over here is that they were not made by people that have a chiyav or an obligation in sukkah, and therefore they aren't potentially, you might have thought, kosher a sukkah. So even though they weren't made by people for whether there's an obligation for sukkah, they are kosher a sukkahs as long as they were made l'shem tzel. Ubovad shete misuchechas kil chasa. As long as, again, the shade was put up for appropriate purposes. The sukkah, the schach, was put up for appropriate schach purposes. What does that mean? Ma'kil chasa. Amr chista vu shaso l'tzel. It was put up there for shade, not for privacy, not for tznias, not to do private things there, get dressed, undressed, to use it for private business things. No, it was made l'shem tzel, to protect you from the sun. As long as it was made to protect you from the sun, even though it was made for people, such as a guy or a woman or a behemoth or a kusi that have no obligations, obviously, to sit in the sukkah, so then, in this situation, it is still a kosher sukkah. Now, what did it add by saying this fifth category, besides the ganbach, it had sukkah mikol makom? So Gemara says, sukkah mikol makom lasu yamai. What is that coming to add? So Gemara says, to include the other category called rakvash, lasu yasukkas rakvash. This Tana says we also include sukkas rakvash. What is sukkas rakvash? The Tana Rabbanu, we have another braisa that tells us, sukkas rakvash, the sukkah, this mnemonic rakvash stands for sukkas roim, sukkah of shepherds. They would be out pasturing the field and they wanted to put up a booth to protect them from the sun. Or sukkas kayotzim, the people that would go and spread out the figs to go and dry, so they would put up a booth so they would watch the figs and they wouldn't be in the sun. Sukkas burginin, again, we had burginin previously. It's either some sort of a hut that was used for bird trappers or for storage of some sort or for other usages like that. So this was burginin. So the sukkah of burginin or the sukkah of shomer peres, people that were watching other fruits, other fields, and they wanted to be in the shade. And then it lists also a fifth category, sukkah mikol makom, or any other similar type of a sukkah. All of these also are kshera. Again, it requires this misuchechas hilchasa. And the Gemara asked on this price as well, my kilchasa, what do you mean by that? And Amar Chista said the same thing. It wasn't made for the purposes of sukkah, but it was made not for the purposes of privacy. It was made for the purposes of providing shade. And b'di'evet, that is a perfectly good sukkah. Now, the underlying common denominator over here was that all of these people, while they're kosher for a sukkah, they all are required to eat in a sukkah, all of these are not considered really structures of significance. So you might have thought that they don't qualify as a sukkah. Kamash will learn that they all do qualify as a sukkah as long as they were made for shade purposes. The Shulchan Aruch, it actually brings down, either you have from both categories, either you had, for example, a guy that had built over here this sukkas roim, so that still would be good, even though it is something from the ganvach category and something from the rakvash category, even both of those potential problems, both together still don't make it into a problem. They still are going to be kosher as sukkahs. Now, Gemara asks the same questions we had before. Why did this second brisa tell me sukkah mikol makom? Sukkah mikol makom lasuya mai? So this Tana holds lasuya sukkah's ganvach. He wants to include the sukkah's ganvach in the discussion. So now the Gemara says, hai Tana de ganvach, the first Tana who said ganvach and everything like ganvach. Why was he saying ganvach is the critical factor? Because alim olei ganvach, he thought the ganvach was more important, mishum dekvi, because those were permanent type of structures, albeit they were for people that weren't obligated in sukkah. And he adds on the fifth category of mikol makom to include the rakbash, which is not a sort of a permanent structure, albeit it was made for permanent, for people that are obligated to sit in the sukkah. Fine. And the second brisa of Ay Tana de Rakvash, the Tana that said Rakvash was the critical thing, and then he added on Mikol Makom to include the Sukkah's Ganvach. So why did he say Rakvash was critical? Ali Malay Rakvash, because the Bnei Chayuvanin, all of those people, were obligated, the royal Yisraelim, men above the age of Bar Mitzvah, that are obligated in the Torah to sit in the Sukkah. So that's why they were the ones that were listed. And the Mikol Makom, the Tana Mikol Makom, Lasuya Ganvach, the La Bnei Chayuvanin, none of those people are obligated in sitting in a Sukkah. So therefore, they're all listed as also, and etc., as Mikol Makom, all the other categories. And these are the two brises, why each one says what they do. One says Ganvach plus the Rakvash, with not mentioning the Rakvash by name. And the other one said the Rakvash by name, and then said also the Ganvach without mentioning it by name. Now we'll go to Tes Amud Aleph, and we'll do this Amud as well. And we'll give the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah. How do we define an old sukkah? So Rashi says, ki the mefarish, I saw kodim l'chak shloshim yom. Before 30 days before sukkahs, you made this sukkah. V'lo pirish, shehi l'shem chak. He didn't specify that I'm building a sukkah. If somebody is going to be away, and he's going to come back to wherever he's going to be, Erev Sukkahs, and now he's 2 months before, and then he says, I better build my sukkah now. So that's perfectly good. Nobody doubts that. If you're making it l'shem sukkah, that's perfectly good. But here, he made a booth with shade, a schach for shade, but he didn't declare that it's specifically a sukkah. So this is called a sukkah yeshana. So Beishamah says, sorry buddy, that's no good. You're going to have to go and redo it, or at least adjust all of the schach during the 30-day period before the yontif to demonstrate you're doing it l'shem sukkah. Or Beisil Machshir, Beisil says, no, it's a perfectly good sukkah. You made it l'shem tzel, as long as you made it l'shem tzel for the purposes of shade, so it's a perfectly good sukkah, even though you didn't specify you're doing it l'shem mitzvah sukkah. How do we define? The Mishnah says, Vezoi sukkah yeshana, so kol shasa, kol l'chak, shloshim yom. This is where Rashi got it from, here from our Mishnah. Anything made before 30 days, so it didn't automatically, therefore, have anything to do with the chag. But within the 30 days, shloshim yom lefnei chag, we said you're supposed to learn all about the chag. So therefore, mistama, if you're doing something 30 days before the chag, you're building a booth, mistama, you're building a sukkah and not a booth. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Avol l'masor l'shem chag, but at any time during the year, if you made it l'shem chag, sukkahs, a sukkah, so then, afilu mitchilas hashana k'shera, a week after sukkahs, the guy lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going away on a business trip. He's going to be away for almost the whole year. And he's going to come back to Eretz Yisrael next year. So he builds a sukkah now. 2 days after sukkahs is over, he builds a new sukkah. He finds out he has to go on a business trip. He just took it down, he rebuilds it for next year. Hatter Gomer, Lechatrila, a perfectly good sukkah, because he did it L'shem sukkah. If it's L'shem sukkah, he can do it any time during the year. Now the Gemara says, what's the understanding of the machlokes between Beishamai and Beisilo? Beishamai says that an old sukkah is no good. Beisilo says it's good. My time in the Beishamai, what's Beishamai's reasoning? They base it upon the Pasuk. On the court, the Pasuk tells us, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim L'Hashem. The Chag has to be L'shem sukkah. Sukkah HaSuya L'shem Chag Bo'ina. And if you do it more than 30 days before without specifying it's for sukkahs, then Mistama, it's not. Beisil disagrees. Beisil, how me by leil chav sheishes? You need this pasuk chak asukos shivas yomim l'Hashem to teach us the din of Rav Sheishes. The Yom Rav Sheishes. Now Rav Sheishes is an Amora, and Mishum Rabbi Akiva. He never wrote Rabbi Akiva, and that's why he uses the lashon Mishum. Whenever you have the word Mishum, we had it earlier in the shiur today as well. So the word Mishum always means he didn't hear it directly. He heard it in the name of his Rebbe. He heard it in the name of his Rebbe. He heard it in the name of his Rebbe. Ultimately, it came from the earlier Tana. So Rav Sheishes said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Minayin la'atzei sukkah shasurim kol shiva. How do we know that the wood of a sukkah is muktzah? It's designated to be a sukkah, and you can't go use it for firewood, you can't go use it to make a chair. How do we know that? Oh, it's this pasuk, Talmud Lomer, Chag HaSukkos, Shiva Shem L'Hashem. For all 7 days, this is for Hashem. But it doesn't tell us anything that it has to be made b'davka l'shem sukkah. So therefore, that's the machlokus between Beishamai and Beis Hillel. Likewise, we have a braisa that says similar things. V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro said, "Kishem shechol shem shomayim ala chagiga, kachol shem shomayim ala sukkah." Just like a chagiga, korban chagiga that's brought on Yontif, has to be l'shem chagiga, so too a sukkah has to be l'shem sukkah, exactly like Beis Shammai. Based upon this pasuk, so it has to be for Hashem. By the chagiga, it says also, "Ma'chag l'Hashem." Just like the Chagiga is for Hashem, so too, Avsukah Hashem, just like the opinion of Beis Shammai. So Gemara says, O Beis Shammai, nami meboy le'lohachi, but wait a second, Beis Shammai also needs to teach us the din of Muktzah, so how do they learn out the din that the Sukkah has to be designated as a Sukkah for all 7 days? So the Gemara says, Einach Hanami, you're right, 100%. Of course, Beis Shammai needs that drasha too, and therefore, if they're using it for that drasha, then this is their real drasha. Another pasuk, Elamai Tamai de Beis Shammai, Ksiv Kro Achrina. Another pasuk, Chag Asukos, Tase Lucha Shivas Yomim. It has to be for you for 7 days. Sukkah Hasuy L'Shem Chag Bo'inan. You have to make the sukkah L'Shem Sukkahs for all the 7 days. Aye, what does Beis Hillel do with this second pasuk? Beis Hillel, how meboile laos and sukkah becholo shomoy. Beis Hillel says this comes to teach us that you're allowed to make a sukkah even a cholamoy. You might have read this pasuk as saying that the sukkah has to be for all 7 days. Once the sukkah can't be used for all 7 days, i.e., you go someplace on cholamoy and you need to make a sukkah, it would seem to be no good. So therefore, Beis Hillel says no. This pasuk tells me chag sukkahs tasalucha. You can make a sukkah any day. You can make a sukkah every single day, a separate sukkah. It doesn't have to be all 7 days. As opposed to Beis Shammai, who holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that says, no, a sukkah has to be for all 7 days. He says you can't make a sukkah for Chol HaMoed because it has to be there for all 7 days. And if you're not using it for all 7 days, so then it's not a kosher sukkah. So therefore, that's how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel each darshan these psukim respectively. Now the Gemara says, "Beis Hillel less luhu the Rabbi Yehuda Marab," but this seems to imply that Beis Hillel doesn't hold that you have to make the sukkah l'shem sukkah. Is that really true? They don't hold from what Rabbi Yehuda Marab says. The Amar Yehuda Marab. Now, of course, Beis Hillel came much, much earlier than Rabbi Yehuda Marab, but it's the idea that Rabbi Yehuda Marab is saying. That idea was still around much earlier in the days of Beis Hillel. And what did Rabbi Yehuda Marab say? I saw min hakotzin, min hanimin, min hagardin, psula. If a person is making tzitzis, not from the what we call the tzitzis, from the separate fringes that are attached into the garment, the four-cornered garment, but if you take the garment as you're weaving it, and you take these kotzin, which are little like thorny-like things that are coming out from the garment, or nimin, or threads that come out from the garment, or the weave, min hagardin, that come out from the garment, that's no good. That's not called tzitzis, psula. But in a season, if you were taking it out from the season, what are the season? Rashi says these are the pekios, kadurios. These are like the balls of the threads, or like the spools of thread. That is acceptable if you were to go make the actual tzitzis part of the garment out of that. Rav Yehuda says, however, Kamrisa Kameh the Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said this in the name of Rav. After Rav died, Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel. He was a star pupil of Rav, star pupil of Shmuel. Throughout Shas, we have Rav Yehuda saying things to Shmuel that he heard from Rav. So when he said, I went to Shmuel to learn, and Kamrisa Kameh the Shmuel, when I went to learn by Shmuel, I told him over this memory of Rav, so Shmuel said, Omar Lee, no, af min ha-sisin ami psul. He says, even the sisin are no good, because, now we delete the word alma, it doesn't seem to fit, the ba'inan tevia lishma, because in order to make tzitzis, it has to be lishma. Now, you clearly see from here that the tzitzis has to be made lishma. So hochanami, the sukkah should have to be made lishma. Doesn't Beis Hillel hold like this opinion of Rav Yehuda Marat that Hachanami Neboy Sukkah Asuri Lishma, even though they say the season, that's fine because it's made the shame tzitzis. But everybody says that it must be made the shame tzitzis. They're just arguing over here whether the season are good or not because it requires Tviya Lishma and this wasn't done Tviya Lishma. But clearly the tzitzis themselves has to be placed Lishma. So how can Beis Hillel say that you don't have to make the Sukkah Lishma? So again, we have a separate pasuk, Shiny Hasim. It says over here by the tzitzis, the Yom HaKra, by tzitzis specifically says, gedilim tase loch. You have to make the gedilim, the tzitzis itself, loch. What does loch mean? Shem chovcha, to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. But it's only here by tzitzis that this requirement is there, and not by sukkah. So Beis Hillel, while they agree with this opinion of Yehuda Marav, and the opinion of Shmuel, that the tzitzis has to be made l'shma, but that's a specific mitzvah by tzitzis that you don't find by something like sukkah. Gemara says, wait a second, what do you mean you don't find it by sukkah? It says, gedilim tase loch, and it says, so too, hochanami, chag ha-sukkos, Tasa lucha. You should make it for yourself. Lucha, l'shem chovcha. So isn't this the same exact drasha by tzitzis? It has to be lishma. So too the sukkah should have to be lishma. Shmuel says no. When it says chag hasukos tasa lucha, that comes to teach us how miboyle lemute gizula. It has to be yours. You can't sit in a stolen sukkah. The person sits in a stolen sukkah, so he's not yotzi the mitzvah. It has to be yours. It has to be something that you own. Then you can fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Where it says, wait a second. Hasam nami viboyle lemute gizula. So then, how come we don't say that the tzitzis, gedilim ta'asiloch, is also coming to teach us that you can't be yotzi wearing somebody's stolen tzitzis? So where it says, no. Because hasam ksiv krachrina. Because there you have another pasuk to tell me that. It says, yasulahem. Tzitzis. You have to make for yourselves tzitzis mishalhem, which means from yourself. And therefore, you don't need the pasuk gedilim ta'as eloch to teach us you must make them from your own property. And therefore, that teaches us that it must be by lishma. So by tzitzis, you have both. It can't be stolen, and it must be done lishma. By sukkah, however, you only have one pasuk, chachasukos ta'as elocha, and therefore you use it to tell me it can't be stolen. But you don't have a pasuk to tell me that it must be made l'shem sukkah. And that's Beis Hillel's Shita. With this, we conclude today's shiur.